Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. 888-623-3646. Got a jam-packed show coming your way today. Obviously, Aaron Boone, New York Yankees, open the MLB season, 7-0 victory over the San Francisco Giants. But obviously, that wasn't the biggest storyline. The biggest storyline was that Aaron Judge went 0-for-5 at the plate and struck out four times. We'll definitely get into that today. Of course, the job at University of North Carolina, Tommy Floyd for Arizona, Billy Donovan for the NBA Chicago Bulls, along with various others. This sound from them about what they feel about the potentiality of all of that. Of course, Draymond Green has made news because he was speaking in support of Victor Wembanyama and what he had to say about the whole MVP chase. So that's definitely something that we're going to get into, make no mistake about it. Along with the NCAA tournament games, Arizona and Arkansas going up against one another. Of course, Houston and Illinois. I can't forget St. John's and Duke, can't forget UConn and Michigan State. The list goes on and on. So we're going to be talking about all of that today and tomorrow. But the first order of business to get into is that of Jaylen Brown of the Boston Celtics, who beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, the best team in basketball, riding a 12-game winning streak, having lost a game in a month. The Boston Celtics beat them 119-109 last night, going down 11 points in the first quarter, then outscoring the Thunder 99-78 the rest of the way. Jaylen Brown scoring, 24 points on 96% shooting in the second half, finishing with 31 points for the game. Absolutely sensational, putting the world on notice that this MVP race ain't over by a long shot, and he definitely warrants consideration for league MVP honors. And he was speaking after the game and talking about how he really wanted that win, how it was well needed. They know they can play with anybody. You get on your home floor against the team that has the best record in the league. It feels good, et cetera, et cetera. But I want to talk about something else with Jaylen Brown, because you see, this is what champions are made of. This is what greatness is made of. And we got to give respect where it's due. I find myself not being able to let this go, ladies and gentlemen. I'm still pretty ticked off that weeks ago he was ejected from the game against the San Antonio Spurs and Victor Wembanyama in the second quarter. Just imagine how we would have been looking at Jaylen Brown if he had beaten the Spurs that night. Imagine if he had come back from the ejection and he lost the thrill of the OKC, but he dropped about 34, 36 points that going nip and tuck at Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. And then Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and the Oklahoma City Thunder bring their talents to Boston, and Jaylen Brown goes right at them again and right at Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, who had dropped over 30 himself. Just think about that for a second here and ask yourself, what would life have been like? Right now, when we're looking at Jaylen Brown, he's putting everybody on notice. You know what? I know that I'm great. You know that I'm great. You've acknowledged and respected me for that, but in the same breath, don't give me the notoriety that I deserve. And the reason why it's relevant is because he's right about that. He's right about that. He does deserve more acclaim. He does deserve more notoriety and acclaim. He does deserve more respect than he has been given. Make no mistake about it, he absolutely positively deserves it. But with that being said, even though he deserves it, let's also bring up something else that's very, very important right now. The Boston Celtics look like the best team in the Eastern Conference. They're not the number one seed. That's the Detroit Pistons, who are without the services of Cade Cunningham, courtesy of a collapsed lung. A partially collapsed lung. We get that. But right now, the Boston Celtics, with Jason Tatum finishing with 19 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists, and 3 steals, and coming over, getting away from his two-game doldrums offensively, if he continues to ascend and flourish and grow, I got news for you. We're going to look at the Boston Celtics, and we're going to say, wait a damn minute now. There's something different going on here. We got to give respect where it's due. The Boston Celtics right now look better than the New York Knicks. They look, who have won 7 straight. They look better than the Detroit Pistons, who are the number one seed. They look better than the Cleveland Cavaliers. They look better than everybody. And we're going to have to pay attention to that and give them the respect where it's due. The Oklahoma City Thunder rolled into town. Jalen Williams is back in the lineup. Lou Dort gave you 14 points. Alex Caruso, although he shot 1 of 8 from three-point range, he's still on the squad. Shea Butter dropped 33 points on 10 of 12 shooting and 8 assists. And somehow, some way, Boston still outscored them 19-2 on second chance points. They outscored them by 18 points on three-pointers. And they shot 53%, their bench, 53% from three-point range, led by Peyton Pritchard. Look at the Boston Celtics right now and tell me who you can definitively say looks better than them in the Eastern Conference. I'm just looking at them right now and imagining if Jason Tatum gets back to 100%, if Jaylen Brown continues to look this way, what are you going to do about the Boston Celtics? I'm just giving respect where it's due and paying attention to it all, understanding that what we're seeing from the Boston Celtics, a team that lost in the second round to the New York Knicks last year, when New York Knicks rolled into Boston and won games 1 and 2 on Boston's home turf. I'm looking at that and I'm saying to myself, are we paying attention? The Boston Celtics are not going away. They're making you pay attention to them, and you damn well had better do it. I've got the Boston Celtics looking like the best team in the Eastern Conference right now. Tell me I'm wrong. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up this. 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. We can get to the West a little bit later on in the show and how Luka is looking and how far this man is capable of taking the Los Angeles Lakers, scoring over 30 in 11 or 12 straight games. L.A. 10-1 over their last 11 games. Clearly entrenched as the top 3 seed within the Western Conference. 8 games behind the San Antonio Spurs, though. How far can Luka take you? How far can Luka, with LeBron looking the way that he's looking, with Austin Reeves looking the way that he's looking, how far can they take you? Still with a suspect bench, second worst bench in the NBA efficiently behind the Houston Rockets. How far can they legitimately take you? These are legitimate questions that I have to give credit where it's due with the Lakers and how they're looking. But I still got to point to their deficient liabilities defensively and the fact that their bench isn't that strong. And I'm like, how are you going to beat these teams that are San Antonio and Oklahoma City? I see the Lakers getting to the second round, going very, very deep, probably a 7-game series against the San Antonio Spurs, assuming they remain the 2 seed while the Lakers are the 3 seed. Both of them win their first round series, and then San Antonio and the Lakers face one another in the second round. That's what I'm looking at. That's what I'm looking at. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number. Call up. It's 888-623-3646. I want to get to another subject because it's a bit sensitive, to say the least. But it's necessary. And I'm not going to mess around about it because I'm not running from it. Okay? And it's a story that involves the state of Florida, but it goes far, far deeper than that. And I openly will confess to you that I'm going to ruffle some feathers with what I'm about to bring up. But I also want to confess to you that I don't give a damn. I'm not here to make enemies, but I'm not here to make friends either. I'm here to call it like I see it and to make sure that subject matters that need to be broached are indeed broached. That's what I'm here to do. And I'm here to do it in a fashion that is necessary. Because in case y'all missed it, there's something going on in the state of Florida where the attorney general for the state of Florida, Mr. James Uthmeyer, U-T-H, is making the argument and essentially threatening the NFL with legal action if they don't get rid of the Rooney Rule. That's essentially what he's doing. And there's really no way around that. That's essentially what he's doing. Now, for those of you who are living under a rock or have no interest in hearing about subject matters like this, so you never studied it or anything like that. The Rooney Rule is an NFL policy requiring teams to interview minority candidates for head coaching and senior football positions. It was adopted in 2003, named after the former Steelers owner, Dan Rooney. It was created in response to the firings of Tony Dungy and Dennis Green, despite a winning record in Tampa with Tony Dungy, and Green after his first losing season in a decade in Minnesota. In case you don't remember the history of it, civil rights attorney Cyrus Murray and Johnny Cochran, the late Johnny Cochran, God rest his soul, published a study showing that black head coaches, despite higher winning percentages, were hired less often and fired more quickly than white coaches. Former players like Kellen Winslow Sr. and John Wooten then organized a group of minority scouts, coaches, and executives to push for the rule with strong support from NFL players, most of whom are African American. NFL franchises must follow the Rooney Rule in their hiring processes for head coaches, general managers, and executive positions. In coaching searches, team must hold an in-person interview with at least two external candidates who are minorities and or women. Virtual interviews do not qualify under the Rooney Rule. Okay? Here's what I have to tell y'all. The Rooney Rule was adopted and implemented in 2003. There were three head coaches that were black back then. Tony Dungy, Herm Edwards, and Marvin Lewis. Ladies and gentlemen, we're now in the year 2026. There are still three black head coaches. In D'Amico Ryans, Todd Bowles in Tampa, and of course Aaron Glenn with the New York Jets. The core issue as it pertains to the Rooney Rule was hiring inequity despite proven performance. Late 1990s, early 2000s, black assistants were not getting head coaching opportunities. Successful black coaches were being fired faster and rehired less often. And the data showed white coaches with worse records were being retained longer. That's how the Rooney Rule came about. Yet somehow, someway, we're here in the year 2026, and the Attorney General for the state of Florida believes this is a sword to die on. According to him, NFL's diversity hiring practices warrants pressure from the government because you're pressuring teams to consider race, which he claims could violate, quote, federal civil rights law, Title VII to be exact, and, of course, equal protection principles. He's arguing that even well-intentioned diversity rules can cross the line into illegal discrimination. That's some BS. Somebody's got to say it, so I'm going to say it. What you have, in my humble opinion, ladies and gentlemen, is a white establishment, good old boys network, wanting a return to the good old days. The numbers don't support his argument, but that's not good enough. What he wants is a reinstitution of control, complete control. Want to be able to tap on the shoulder, want to fraternize, want to ingratiate yourself with whom you choose, want to ostracize those you choose to as well, and you don't want to have to answer for it or be held accountable for engaging in unfair hiring practices. Now, of course, the NFL being a private industry, one could easily argue they're immune to such scrutiny, but they are not. We all should know that. The National Football League teams are indeed private employers, but they're still subject to federal employment law, state laws. The government can't tell anybody who to hire, but it can challenge hiring practices if they're deemed discriminatory. So here we are basically saying that white folks are being discriminated against. Where's your evidence? Where's your evidence, Attorney General Uthmeyer? Where is it? Inquiring minds want to know. Because we're not seeing a positive. There were 10 openings. One black was hired. That was it. There were 10 openings in the NFL this offseason. One black was hired. One. And so I'm looking at it and I'm like, what the hell is this man talking about? Who is he? And you could say it's a minority because it's Robert Saleh, who's Lebanese, and he was hired by the Tennessee Titans. Mike LaFleur ain't black. John Harbaugh ain't black. Jeff Hafley ain't black. Clint Kubiak, Kevin Stefanski, Jesse Minter, Mike McCarthy, Joe Brady. No. Who's he talking about? Where's your evidence? This is what we're talking about here. And I'm going to read a quote for those that are interested in hearing what I have to say about this, because I think it's important. And I'm going to read this quote from an interim executive director of the Fritz Pollard Alliance, so we know what we're talking about here. A Michelle C. Meyer Shipp wrote, "The Rooney Rule doesn't limit opportunity, it expands it. It doesn't cap who a club can consider or dictate who gets hired, and it is not a hiring rule. What it does is increase fair competition and ensure a true merit-based process by opening the door beyond the traditional tap-on-the-shoulder system so the best candidates from all backgrounds are actually seen, evaluated, and can compete," end quote. Why would you have a problem with that? Could it be because you want the white establishment to remain exactly that? Could it mean that you want the barriers of intrigue and probing to be eradicated? That you don't even want to have to answer a question as to why you hired this one candidate but didn't even consider the other one? That's what we're talking about here. Remind you, ladies and gentlemen, Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, who, by the way, I think has done some good things in the state of Florida. But one of them clearly isn't stuff like this. Clearly it isn't. You've got a situation right now where you're looking at stuff like DEI, and this is the latest salvo at it, giving an implication that somehow, some way, black folks benefited, when in fact that is absolutely positively not true compared to how our white counterparts have benefited. Absolutely not true. There's the same governor that sat up there and tried to tell us there are good elements about slavery. Everything that came from slavery isn't bad. Why would a white person even think to make that argument? Would somebody say that to the Jewish community about what they went through, what they endured when 6 million of them were murdered? Would you sit up there and say, well, there were some good elements about that? Would you do that? Why would you do that with black people? Why would you do that? Why am I bringing up the governor? Because this attorney general was appointed by the governor in February of 2025. Prior to being an attorney general, he was the governor's chief of staff. Like-minded, to say the least. These are the kind of things, these uncomfortable conversations. Ladies and gentlemen, I got news for you. It was made for radio. It was made for radio. This is what you do on radio. Sure, you talk about the games. Got a few good games coming up. Had a few good NBA games last night. I saw Philly. I saw Houston lose to Minnesota. I saw Denver and Jamal Murray drop 53 points. I'm getting in all of that. I ain't running from it. It's a sports show. This is sports too. Because this argument makes absolutely, positively no sense by the Attorney General Uthmeyer. Why? Why is this a focal point? Why are you putting out a video going after the National Football League when the National Football League, a private industry, where you have no evidence that they've ostracized any group? They're just trying to be more inclusionary. Why would you bother them? For what? Because they're actually mandating that you look at all qualified candidates instead of just white ones? That is the reason why this discussion is being had. That is the reason why the Attorney General for the state of Florida is bringing this issue up. This is nonsense. It's utter nonsense. But if everybody else is entitled to their opinion, I suppose Mr. Uthmeyer is as well. As far as I'm concerned, this is just another opportunity of putting an end to equal opportunity. There's a reason, DEI discrimination. There was a reason for DEI. DEI came into existence because of discrimination and discriminatory practices against people of color and women. Now, there are those out there who will disagree with that. The numbers show otherwise. Women were being marginalized, if not flat out denied. So were black people. These are facts. These are absolute facts. But in the case of Uthmeyer, and to a lesser degree, Ron DeSantis, and to a large degree, the Trump administration, what you're really, really trying to say is that discriminatory practices have been exercised against white males. And it's all very consistent with the current administration, in case y'all haven't noticed, who've pushed to eliminate policies that in any way give blacks an opportunity to compete fairly. You can throw money at HBCUs. I appreciate the president on that. I'm not saying that everything he's done is bad. But in the same breath, he's quick to tell you what he's done for you or what he would do for you, as opposed to what you deserve and what you earned. Because you're a human being, you're an American citizen, and under the laws of our land, everybody deserves to be treated equally under federal mandates. No matter what he's done, when the default position is to ensure that you have to credit him and pay homage to him for giving to you, as opposed to you earning it and you deserving it, those are two different worlds. So once again, like I said before, I'm here for it. Ain't nobody running. Ain't nobody hiding. I'm Stephen A., baby. I'm here for it. I don't mind at all. If it's going to ruffle feathers, so be it. I am not casting any personal aspersions against the governor of Florida or his attorney general. I'm talking about this. And I'm talking about a couple of positions the governor has taken that have been antithetical to what he tries to describe as fair and equitable practices. I would challenge that. Because what you're doing is ignoring the leg up historically given to a certain race of people in this country and how that served to contribute to the marginalization and the diminishing of another group of people. And how instead of leaving well enough alone and acknowledging that the progress that has been made needed to be made, you want to roll it back. And you got an attorney general who serves as who once served as your former chief of staff, who's trying to do the same thing and going after the big fish to do it in the NFL. That's what this is. I suspect the general counsel for the National Football League will be ready for this challenge. I hope they are. And I hope what we won't see is the latest capitulation to the noise that comes from the White House and from the State House in Florida. This is not right. It's really much ado about nothing. Unless the attorney general is willing to come out and say, we want the white establishment to remain intact with the level of superiority and the proverbial perch that they were living on, completely maintained and not rattled in any way. If that's what you feel, say so. I double dare you. If not, it's just doing what politically is expedient and trying behind some law in Florida that's going to facilitate you doing what you really, really want to do. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. This 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Ted in Cincinnati, you're live with Stephen A. Go ahead.
Privilege. To be talking
Ted,
to
Ted,
you,
Ted, hold on, Ted. Ted, we didn't hear you. We didn't hear you, Ted. Start over and speak louder, please.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me, Stephen A?
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, man, big fan of your show. Been following you my whole life. I think that it's incredibly ignorant. I don't think it's going to get much status from the NFL or DeSantis. I think he's young, 38 years old. He made a stupid comment. It's sad that it has to trickle down. I appreciate you talking about it, but I also wanted to say, you were talking about Jamal Murray earlier. Do you think that Jamal Murray is going to be in the same set and Brown earlier from Boston? Do you think this is Murray's year to put on a show?
I think Murray puts on a show every postseason. That's why I think he's formidable. Jamal Murray for the Denver Nuggets puts on a show every postseason. He shows up more in the postseason, in my mind, than he does during the regular season. That's how I feel about it. That's what I think. Right. Appreciate the call, Ted. Thank you so much. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is 888-623-3646. Back with more of your calls in a minute. Plus, the executive director for the WNBA Players Association, the one and only Terry Carmichael Jackson, coming on show up next, talking about the WNBA and how bright their future looks because of this latest collective bargaining agreement they have reached, courtesy of Terry Carmichael Jackson. And, of course, Nneka Ogumike. She had help. Make no mistake about it. More to Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, in a minute.